Okay, so here we have on the left Lauren Chen. Looks like a harlot. Look at all that makeup. Good God. She's lathered on with a butter knife. And then we have beside her Andrew Wilson, a total and complete moron, who has other people write talking points for him. He doesn't really come up with much in the way of original ideas. He's stolen most of his ideas from people like myself and others, in my opinion. And he presents himself as some kind of guru of philosophy, which he knows very little about, actually. And, you know, tries to argue for a theocratic state where you have a monarchy ruling hand in hand with the church. Oh, boy! It sounds like a nightmare to me. But anyway, let's hear from him and Lauren Chen, this hoe that calls herself a Christian. Neither one of them is very good as far as being Christians go. But anyway, let's get to it.
Okay, so let's talk about what the red pill is and what I view as the problems with red pill. So I view the red pill as kind of...
Guy smokes a lot. Guess he needs the nicotine to supercharge that... Oh, that rather slow brain of his.
Kind of an offshoot or something that developed from maybe earlier MGTOW or Manosphere types. So a lot of the complaints center around inequality before the courts and family law specifically benefiting women. I don't disagree there, but you mentioned yourself that they can be degenerate. And when I look at someone like the Fresh and Fit guys, who do talk about, like, they encourage promiscuity among men.
Okay, first of all, you dopey broad, you. You're conflating PUA, pickup artists, and MGTOW guys with the red pill, and these are completely different categories. PUA, MGTOW, you could call these ideologies. The red pill itself is nothing more than, like, you know, correct observations about the world. PUA is taking those observations and putting them into a specific form of practice. So those are two totally, completely different categories right there. And of course, you're conflating, you know, information with the use of said information. She's not too bright. Does she have any followers? I mean, she's not a bad-looking broad, but she's not that good-looking either.
That's not something that I support.
Yeah, but again, this is a detailed problem with your worldview. So let me dive right into this as well. These are secularists, and these secularist men are trying to help secularist men.
Basically, human beings that don't believe that moral teachings come from a sky daddy, okay? And that don't want religion creating and influencing governments to a large extent. Seems pretty reasonable to me.
Christians are supposed to be coming in with solutions to these issues, and what happens is, like you, they have actual contradictions inside of their worldview, so these guys don't want to listen to them. What you guys say is...
Christians are supposed to come in with solutions. I haven't seen any solutions from Christians. What solutions do you have? Have a patriarchy? Well, how are you going to do that? I mean, all you're really saying is how you think things should be, but you also have no prescriptions. You just say, we should have a patriarchy. How are we going to get that? Oh, that's an actual prescription. So I'm presenting my oughts as prescriptions, just like the secularists that you're saying have no prescriptions. He doesn't either. What a moron!
Oh, hey, just roll the dice, and hopefully you'll get lucky, and maybe you won't marry one of these horrible women. What is the actual...
Like your wife? Didn't his wife have, like, two or three kids before she even met Andrew? By, like, different dudes? You mean your low-value wife by your own definition, Andrew?
actual Christian prescription? So then tell me, Lauren, what is the actual Christian prescription to hypergamy in society from women in mate selection? What is the actual solution that you have from a Christian ethic that you can give these guys that's better than what Fresh and Fit gives them?
I don't have a problem with hypergamy.
Yeah, that's not my question. My question is, if you believe in monogamy because you're a Christian, but women are not acting in a monogamous way inside society, which they're not, what is the prescription that you're going to give to men? There's not enough women to go around who are virtuous for the virtuous men. What prescription are you going to give to the secularists? Do you even have one? You don't have one, right?
Well, no, I think the solution is to do things like change family court, like absolutely change the law surrounding divorce.
These are not solutions. These are just, this is how things ought to be. Both these people are morons, by the way. My prescription would be the how you're going to bring that about. Not just saying, well, men should get a better deal in family court. Okay, I agree. You're saying how things ought to be, but you're not really telling me how you would make those things reality. That would be the prescription.
I think a lot of men, even if they are secularists, would feel better going into a marriage if they didn't think that there was such a good chance.
And by the way, Andrew Wilson here also has no prescriptions, though he pretends and presents his oughts as prescriptives. They're not.
That they absolutely lose everything in the...
This is why Andrew Wilson won't talk to people on the right. They tend to be much more intelligent, logical, and reasonable than people on the left, like, amphetamine hyped up destiny. So, yeah.
Divorce. And I also think that you say that there's not enough good women to go around. I think that's true. And in my...
I also don't think there's enough good men to go around. Yeah, mama, what about the men? Yeah, of course she's going to blame men.
Video talking about the women and the right. I believe a lot of this stems from a lack of leadership from men in the church. I think there should be a lot of churches, they prioritize gynocentrism, female sensibilities over actual male leadership, and I think that's a problem. And I think if we were to let the
this
church
doesn't answer the question,
way,
what is the actual prescription that you can?
Dude, you're talking as if you have some kind of prescriptive. You have nothing. By the way, Andrew, if you really want to change things so much, why don't you run for public office? You've got enough of a following. You could probably get elected. Why don't you? Even if you didn't get elected, you would be able to get your message out there much more effectively. Why don't you do that? Huh? Why don't you do that, pal?
Give to men right now who are facing down the barrel of marriage. Right? Where you have a state contract in a secular way. These guys are speaking to secular men. You're the Christian who's trying to convert them. What's the actual prescription that you're going to give these guys when it comes to marriage? What is it, Lauren?
Well, I think you pointed out that any prescription when it comes to marriage, if you're talking to a secularist, should be to follow Christ, because anything less than that is not a marriage.
Oh, and they go, yeah, but I don't want to do that. What I'm going to do instead is I'm just going to, have sex with a bunch of hot chicks and then never tie myself down with the state. That makes a lot more sense.
Except most guys can't have sex with lots of hot chicks, okay? That's just reality. Most guys do not have that option.
Can you actually tell me why that's illogical from a secular progressive state? I can't actually think of how it's illogical for a man who's a secularist to say, I don't want to get married in the current sphere. The women are not virtuous. And instead, I'm just going to go out and I'm going to have tons and tons of sex. And that's it. Why is that actually problematic from that stance? Doesn't it seem like it's good advice for fresh and...
If your problem with women is that too many of them have slept around, etc., then I don't think you need to be a Christian to recognize that by continuing to sleep with these women, you are exacerbating the problem, unless you...
Wait. Why don't you say the same thing about the men, then? That the women sleeping with the men is exacerbating the problem with men. Now, it only goes one way, right? One gender affecting the other in a negative way. The men are exacerbating the problem by sleeping with the women who are just offering themselves up and essentially objectifying themselves. And that's on the men. See, I told you, she's just going to blame the men.
that would be contrary to hypergamy. Hypergamy is actually stating the opposite within the red pill, within the red pill thought process. They're actually stating the opposite, that most men cannot sleep with X amount of women. Most of them cannot. Most women can sleep with whatever guy they want. Most guys cannot sleep with whatever woman they want. So it would actually be the opposite within their sphere. So they're telling men, actually, you're probably not going to be able to do this thing.
Yeah, Lauren's talking about the top 5% of dudes who she also chases and then conflates with the other 85% now that she's damaged goods.
However, here's self-improvement you can do, which would improve your chances of mate selection and things like this. From a secular standpoint, how in the world could they possibly be wrong? What are you offering? This is the question. What are you offering from the Christian church, from the Christian perspective, to combat these ideas, Lauren? What are you actually showing them?
Well, once more, You talk about the fact that, well, they're offering self-improvement so that men can improve their chances for mate selection. I will maintain, if you are a man who believes that promiscuity amongst women, sleeping with men who they are not married to, is a problem, you cannot engage in that same behavior.
Sure I can, because men and women are not the same. What are you talking about? So, see, she's just a feminist. She thinks men and women are equal, the same. She's giving herself away here. Well, if you're a man, you shouldn't be doing what the women are doing, and then you castigate the woman. But men and women are different. What do you think about career woman choosing work and profession over family and children? Well, I think that men's and women's should have the exact same opportunities, and they should go out there and participate in the world as if they were the same, because I believe in blank slate theory, don't you know? Everything's just a social construction. So she's just a feminist. Playing a pick me. Look, I'm a Christian woman. Yeah, this is all performative for her. She keeps giving herself away.
While complaining about the problem, you are exacerbating the problem.
Yeah, but most of those men are not exacerbating the problem.
Yeah, because most men don't have the option to just go out there and sleep around. Again, sweetheart, you're showing what a hoe you are, and that you fall in the same trap as most Western women with your characteristic conflation. Compositional fallacy, where you essentially conflate the top 5% with all men because those are the only ones you chase. And then say, oh, man, this, oh, man, that, because those are the only men that you've actually had dealings with. The other 80% are invisible to you.
This is not a male problem. This would be a woman problem when it comes to hypergamy. If most of the women are sleeping with a select few men, how's that a man's issue? That would be a woman's issue. And again, you still have not answered the question from the church, from the Christian perspective, what would you do to solve that?
See, she can't help herself. She can't help but try and defend the sisterhood, the majority of women, and try to blame the majority of men, and shift blame, shift responsibility. Of course.
Well, I think what we need to do to solve that is when it comes to things like, sex outside of wedlock, as a church, we have fought, like the Christian church has failed in enforcing those moral standards. I mean, it's true. How many, if you think about like church singles groups or even just general services, how many of them?
By the way, we don't need anything in place like the church having some kind of ability to impose sanctions or consequences. This all used to work just fine with social stigma. It worked very well. Women are extremely concerned about what society, what community, what the collective thinks about them. So we don't need the church having laws that outlaw this, outlaw that, stone this person, burn that person. Now we've been there, done that. I don't want to return to that.
Talk about something like sex within marriage specifically. It's not a popular concept. It's not something that I think a lot of church leaders, quote, think is a winning topic. But because of that, even amongst people within the church, like, that's a problem.
I'll give you the solution, because that's a non-solution. That's just literally prattle. You didn't say anything. Here's the actual solution.
I'll let you continue. But what I've said there is that the church should absolutely be pushing to enforce those moral standards.
How? I mean, first of all, most people ain't going to church on Sundays. And even if they were, aren't a lot of these church Protestant? Don't a lot of these Protestant denominations have, like, female preachers and all that crap, and LGBTQ, female, lesbian bishops and other weird stuff? I don't know how effective that's going to be, because they're not going to... They gotta teach the opposite of what you're saying, Lauren. By the way, again, this is not a prescription that she's giving.
Teaching those moral standards.
Which church?
Christian churches. Like, the church is the body of Christ.
Yeah, but the problem is that within Protestantism, you have so many different denominations, so many of them which embrace feminism, LGBTQ, this type of thing. They have no unified message. Only the traditional churches, Orthodoxy and Catholicism, do. That
which I'm a member of, and I'm super ultra... based, I became an Orthodox Christian. Yeah, to grift more effectively.
That's it. That's why Muslims have become so popular where they're at when they're pushing traditional values. That's the reason why. So I can tell you how you can actually make a lifeline to these guys if you actually want to bring them over to your side. If you really want to understand how you can fix this problem, you fix the problem with a move to patriarchy. That's the thing red pillars will embrace.
That's not a prescription. I told you he's a moron. That's not a prescription. How is the prescription? How are you going to do it? Can you get more granular? No. I just tell people what they want to hear so they'll donate more money to me. I just tells the minses what they wants to heeses, so they give me the super chatses. Yeah, okay, pal, whatever. Yeah.
A move to patriarchal systems. That's what Christianity can offer to the secularists, which bring them over to our side. A move to patriarchy. Because absent patriarchy, what has happened...
Churches need to embrace that.
Yeah, but they have no ecclesiastical authority. Because there's no ecclesiology, they can't do it. Protestant churches can't do it. They don't have the necessary ecclesiology in order to move into a patriarchal system. They don't.
Neither do you. And by the way, even if these churches had that kind of authority and were incentivized to do so, it wouldn't make any difference. They don't own and run social media, mainstream media, or the government that through... at least used to, through such fake, fraud, phony programs like USAID, funneled money to all of these various media outlets and propagandists to spread woke, leftist, postmodern, Marxist ideology. So, you will have no effect. You will fail! Just as you are failing now, because you're just a controlled op. Shill here to distract people by focusing on symptoms to the problem and not the actual problems themselves.
Have any reference for marriage. They don't have any laws or bylaws regarding marriage. They have no laws or bylaws regarding anything, whereas the traditional churches do have that ecclesiastical authority. That's why the traditional Abrahamic religions do so well.
You mean like you and your wife? Doesn't your wife work? Didn't she write a book? Doesn't she have her own channel? Doesn't she podcast and live stream as well? There's nothing traditional about you and your wife that I've seen. What are you talking about, you big fake fraud phony you?
And why Protestantism does not do so well. And so I'm almost done. When you're making the advocation for this, the reason that you have a pro-feminist stance without even knowing it is because if you want...
because she's lacking in self-awareness, like most people today, not just women.
To solve the problem on the red pill side and the Christ pill side, the one unifier that you have is a patriarchy, patriarchal systems. They will agree with that, and you can move them out of that. But just telling them, oh no, just be monogamous, that doesn't do anything for them, because who are the women left? They get the leftovers to be monogamous with. That's what they get.
All right, well, I mean... when it comes to things like divorce within the Catholic Church, at least if we're going with nominal Catholics, it is still high, unfortunately.
Depends on the country. That's one.
There's
influencers which happen inside of Western nations, especially due to feminism. In Orthodoxy, the rates are very, very, very low. Also,
how low? Notice he stopped himself before he said much lower. He's not giving us an actual metric. How much lower? I doubt it's all that much lower. Is it half? Probably not even half. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about here. The incentives are there to get divorced. Now you're saying that Orthodoxy is much, much lower. Yeah, there's far, far fewer people that are Orthodox Christians also. So we would need to do a per capita analysis. I bet if we did, we'd find that they were pretty similar. I'd have no doubt they're lower among Orthodoxy, but are they low enough to justify some kind of switch over to monarchical Christian theocracy where you have a church and a noble class ruling us, which is what this idiot moron actually wants. I should say what he's being paid to spread the narrative, the messaging, the acceptance for.
Orthodoxy offers the ecclesiastical authority and the requisite to get married outside of the state. It's not a requirement because these are sacraments. These are messages.
So instead of the power being in the hands of the state, the power is in the hands of the church, and that's somehow better because different name, different representative, in this case an imaginary one, but with his agents on Earth who speak for Mr. Imaginary Sky Daddy, and therefore they have a lot of centralized power, and it's in their best interest and well-being. What's in their best interest, for sure? In their best interest to accrue ever more power and crush any dissent that might threaten that power base. Yeah, that doesn't sound better. That sounds pretty bad too, my friend.
Which you can give to actual red pillars to move them over to Christ. What you can't tell them to do, though, is, hey, take the big risk and the big gamble because Jesus would really like it if you did. That's insane messaging.
That's not my position, by the way, to take the risk and the gamble, to just roll the dice. I absolutely don't think that's a good idea for men to do. And I think that there are definitely things that you can do that would reduce your likelihood of getting divorced.
Reduce, but not remove. And of course, you can't remove all risk entirely, but if you remove the incentives for women to get divorced and the consequences to men, if the woman left him, then it would be a lot more likely they would get married. But of course, those are not prescriptions. Those are just saying what I think ought to be the case. And ought is not necessarily a prescription. And they're talking about outcome, end results that they want without telling you how they would go about achieving those end results. That's not a prescription. Tell me the how. Oh, I don't know. That's for better minds than mine. That's for sure.
I don't think you should just roll the dice. Absolutely not.
Well, then what is your prescription other than a move to patriarchy?
That's not a prescription either. You have to get more granular before you can call it a prescription, my friend. He would argue otherwise, but okay, can you tell me the how? No. That's too specific a prescription. But you still call what you're, oh, well, it's the solution, so it's technically a prescription. Yeah, you have no idea how we would get to that point. So it's really just useless meandering now, isn't it? Nothing more than, it's nothing. Yeah, which is kind of the whole point of his presentation here. Nothing.
Move to patriarchy is not part of that answer. Again, I said that even in regard to the church. But I also think that there are certain mate selections that you can do that do have a statistical likelihood at reducing
like
your chances of divorce. Right, socioeconomic status.
What do you mean? What mate selection? I mean, people can lie. They can act. I don't. What makes it? Oh. So that's again. It's the man's fault. Right. He should. If he just picked better.
Status of married couples has an outcome. It affects your likeliness of divorce.
Yeah, but it also affects the outcome of you having children because you have them later in life because of family planning. And so what ends up happening is it's the poor and the downtrodden, and those who reject materialism who are going to inherit the earth because they're the only ones who are breeding. It's actually bad advice to tell people to wait until later in life to get married because you're going to destroy the chance of them having more children.
I'm not telling people to wait later in life to...
It's very unrealistic, by the way, when you're talking about a developed first world nation where people are used to the trappings of the material world and have all of these luxuries, to expect them to sacrifice these things that they now have in lieu of having a family and kids. People don't want to do it. You got the whole dink movement. Double income, no kids. Ah, and they want that double income and the no kids so they can continue to live their affluent, luxurious lifestyle.
Get married, but I think there's sometimes the willingness to believe that there is one likelihood of divorce and that it's a roll of the dice no matter what the circumstance.
By the way, any of you out there thinking that, well, this contradicts what I said earlier about Andrew not wanting to punch right and not wanting to engage with other conservatives because they would thrash him. She's not a conservative. She's a libtard, chameleon, trying to pose as a Christian to get views and donos. This guy will only engage with the lowest hanging fruit. We are realists. He talks to destiny. I rest my case.
Bizarre, which is patently not true. And there's a big differential, even if you look at between different races, of the likelihood of divorce. The black divorce rate, I think.
That's because different races embrace different types of ecclesiastical authority inside of their churches. Namely, some of them have none. And that's why when the church effectively had some sort of body to it inside of black communities, you did not see these divorce rates nearly as high because they had a more traditional foundation for what it was that they were going for. That's all destroyed. But when you're talking about the entailment of what you just said, though, of, hey, your likelihood for divorce drastically is going to reduce if you have, you know, these different socioeconomic statuses, an entailment of that is going to be that they wait till later to get married. That, in turn, is going to cause us to have less children, which exacerbates the birth rate crisis. These, again, not a great position.
Well, let's be honest here. The main incentive that black women who broke up the family had was welfare, as well as social pressure that changed through the delivering of propaganda, basically effinism, telling them that they need no man, they're oppressed, media, magazines, books, the lamestream, legacy media, TV, all spreading lies, but messages contrary to marriage, contrary to tradition, postmodern messaging that essentially played to a woman's want, need, desire to fit in and be part of the social collective, which is a very strong drive in women. And that's what the powers that be played to. He's trying to present it as some kind of breakdown of the church. And the reason these women went the wrong way and destroyed the family was because, well, the church stopped doing this and that. No. It was because of contrary messaging. That's it. Delivered by government. Delivered by academia. Delivered by the media. Sorry, Andrew, but no, your little religion is not going to stop social breakdown. It didn't before, it's not doing it now, and it's not the prescriptive solution to solving this problem. Sorry, buddy, but hey, you're getting paid to spread that message, so keep on doing it.
Well, the thing is, when people look at the likelihood of divorce dropping, it's basically, we're basically talking about IQ here, and bell curve talks about this. Your likelihood of getting divorced is greatly higher if your IQ is lower, and socioeconomic status is kind of like it represents that. And so, you know, if you are a man,
socioeconomic status, well, okay, first of all, low IQ, look, aren't most of the broad, okay, necessarily. So having a college degree in A does not necessarily mean you're intelligent. But the vast majority of women that get divorces have at least a four-year degree. They're all college graduates. In fact, isn't it something like 90% if you're, if a woman is a college graduate, she's like a 90% chance of getting divorced or something? Some crazy number. I wouldn't guess all those women are morons. I mean, I'm sure some of them are, but so if they're stupid, they're more likely to get divorced as women. Maybe, but what's your evidence for that? I mean, wouldn't you need an IQ study of everybody that gets divorced, or at least some kind of sample size in the thousands, and look at women who have gotten divorced, and then compare them to thousands of women who have stayed married, and not just stayed married, but stayed married for a significant amount of time, and then compare their IQs with the women that stayed married, necessarily score higher? Maybe, but I mean, maybe not. I don't know. So a lot of smart women do get divorces. See, this is the thing about ideology, okay? If there's no counter-messaging, oh, that's what they're saying. Oh, well, he's saying, oh, well, you know, the counter-messages don't come from religion. Yeah, but we don't want religion having that kind of power. Well, then the government has that kind of power, and then they're going to teach anti-religious woke propaganda. Uh-huh, okay. And the stupid people fall for that. Well, also stupid people fall for Sky Daddy, so I think it's about incentives. I think it's about incentives. I mean, I think you're just as likely for a smart person to say, oh, he's a pain in the butt. If I leave him, I'll get X, Y, and Z. I'll get the house. I'll get the car. I'll get half his 401k. I'll get this. I'll get that. Okay, I'll leave him. I'm not so sure that the problem is IQ, sweetheart. Certainly not the majority of it, I don't think. I think it has to do with learning the proper values and virtues as you're growing up. So to a certain extent, Andrew's not wrong in that we become too materialistic, but that's a messaging problem. Now, he's saying that the church is the answer. I'm saying, no. We don't want to give the church that kind of power. We don't. Trust me. We've seen what happens when we give the church power. Doesn't go well. Or too much power anyway. There's a reason they lost most of their power, because of the extreme amounts of power they had in the past and how they misused it and the amount of resentment this created, which then pushed people to go in the exact opposite direction, which is kind of why we're at where we are now. So, you know, the church created most of the problems we have now by pushing people in the opposite direction. And now we've got idiots like Andrew saying, hey, well, the church is the answer, even though the church, to a large part, to a large extent, created the very problems we're dealing with now. Ah, so the cause is the solution. Great. Brilliant, Andrew.
Absolutely. Trying to find a woman who is not low IQ, therefore has better impulse control, it is going to reduce your likelihood of getting a divorce. Now, does that...
Wrong. What do you think? That getting a divorce is like pulling the trigger on a gun? Oh, well, you know, it's impulse control. No, it's not. Impulse control is an in-the-moment thing, you dummy. Divorces take months, sometimes years. What the hell is she talking about? She's a moron. You're a moron, Lauren Chen, which is why Andrew's talking to her. There's no challenge there.
That simultaneously mean that you have to wait until you're 30 to get married and maybe 35 to have kids? No, I think those are two different
the
things.
The high IQ people are not having children.
Yeah, which is a problem, and I want them to have children.
Yeah, but if you want them to have children, then you have to embrace patriarchy, because we want the smart mothers to stay at home and raise their children. We don't want them in the workforce, literally frying their brains on behalf of their boss. We want the really high IQ women. We want the really high IQ women at home raising children.
But really high IQ people tend to make gobs of money, or do very well anyway. And as we've seen from the Dink movement, when you pursue that kind of lifestyle, which women are doing because of the very messaging they're getting from academia, from media, from the government, you go girl, slay queen, the powers that be are pushing this because, you know, they want women in the workforce, because women in the workforce means wages get cut in half and yet you pay, hello, twice as much tax. It's so people are kept poor, so the people who are in power don't have competitions from up-and-coming possible entrepreneurs, because nobody can save enough money to start any business that could compete with them. Well, at the same time, you've doubled the amount of people paying taxes. Great, great. But these people value materialism, and they've spent their whole lives going on vacations and having new iPhones every year. And yeah, these people aren't having kids because they don't want to give any of that stuff up. What's your prescription to get them to do that, Andrew, so that they can then afford to have kids? Because they can't afford to have kids now because they're addicted to their lifestyle without even realizing it. And they couldn't imagine not living that lifestyle. And they're so terrified of not living that lifestyle, of having all of the luxuries of the modern day first world, that they don't have kids in many cases. What's your prescription for that, to fix that problem, Andrew? Nah, I don't get that granular. I just tell dudes what they want to hear, so they'll donate to me. Because most people are morons, and I play on that.
To make the next generation of high IQ children. Otherwise, they're wasted. They're wasted in the marketplace. Move to patriarchy is the only answer to this. That's the only way that this can actually be done in a structured way. You can't incentivize them with money. There's no way to incentivize people with money to have children. The poorest among us are the ones who have the children now. So financial incentives are not going to work for this.
I've long said the idea that the reason...
Okay, so again, it's not just the money, it is the addiction to the lifestyle, to the freedom and liberation that they feel they have. It's an addiction to the hedonism and the materialism, not only of things they possess, but the way that they live their lives that they don't want to sacrifice. So more money, you're right, will not solve that, because it's not just about material things. It's also about lifestyle and how they live that life.
Reason why women...
I thought this guy said he was a philosopher. You're not a philosopher, Andrew. You're a moron.
Aren't having children is because of costs is ridiculous. And it's not just the poor in this country who have more children than the rich, but also if we look at a global scale, the places where there's the least economic development, they tend to have the most. It is absolutely a choice that people are making.
Sure. Yeah, they don't have the materialism and the addiction to the liberated lifestyle, i.e. the decadence that we have here in the West. So they have kids instead. Yeah, okay. And tell me some more about is's instead of oughts, which takes more intelligence, and which takes the most intelligence is the how that is required to reach those oughts, which neither of these people are able to give.
Now, does that simultaneously mean that I don't think concerns over affordability are, you know, we shouldn't talk about them? No, but I don't think that is the core issue of why people
aren't having children. That's a materialist position. It's a materialist position. You having a family should not have anything to do with materialism.
Okay, now that's not true. So, yeah, just, you know, have kids even if you can't afford to have them, right? Because it'll then motivate you to have them. This guy. Wow. I mean, it's either one extreme or the other. False dichotomy after false dichotomy. Isn't there a middle ground? Oh, no. I am a creature of extremes and absolutes.
It should have to do with the relationship and the sacrament between yourself and Jesus Christ in the submission of your wife to your patriarchal authority.
And if you do what's right, what God tells us used to do, he'll provide us that bread for you. I don't think so.
And your ability to raise children, even in meager settings. Some of the best people come out of the worst poverty situations.
Oh my God, correlation does not equal causation, you idiot. Just because some of the most, by the way, some productive, exemplary people come out of poor conditions, that doesn't mean that they're exemplary because they came out of those poor positions. Okay? I don't... and there are some arguments you could make. Well, you know, because they grow up with so little, they need to improvise and adapt and overcome, and this sets them up for more success later on in life. Okay, we could talk about that. You could maybe make some arguments in that regard. But again, Andrew, you should know better than to argue that correlation equals causation.
It's not a bar for having a family. The messaging that can come from Christianity only can cross this threshold in Rubicon with the red pill if we have an embrace of patriarchy. That's it.
You mean logic and reason, which would logically dictate that you should be considering resources before you have kids. See, the actual problem is, again, people don't want to sacrifice the materialistic lifestyle, the fun, the party, the freedom, the so-called liberation that they become so accustomed to. Okay?
It's the only way. I still haven't actually heard any descriptors of the red pill that you disagree with. What are they?
Well, I told you it's the push for the promiscuity, because we also have an overlap.
The red pill doesn't push for anything. The red pill is just observations about reality that are, for the most part, true. It's just, oh, that's how things are. Oh, that's generally true. It's not pushing for anything, you idiot. It's observing things. Now, the people coming to conclusions about how things ought to be, who are some red pill content producers, and they use the information within the red pill, these observations that exist within the manosphere, to then come to conclusions about how things ought to be. They're using that information to come to those conclusions, but they're not part of the red pill itself. You understand, dummy?
With what seems to be the pickup artist mentality, where we have people like Fresh and Fit going on sugar.
And it's not even dry. Why is it not dry?
Because the quality of the meat is so good. It's air dried.
Oh my God. I thought it was...
Going on sugar baby sites, right? And sleeping with all of these women.
Yeah, the push towards promiscuity is something which I push back on more than most. But that's not red pill. Just because you're a pickup artist, think of the red pill as a data packet. Inside of the data packet is a ton of information. You can utilize it how you see fit. Can you utilize it for the purposes of nefarious manipulation? Yes. Can you also utilize it for the purposes of help building men up and men's advocacy? Yes. You can't lay at the feet of the red pill the fact that some pickup artists and some people push towards promiscuity. That's not a red pill ideology. Red pill is simply information. That's it. It's descriptive truths which are given out into the ethos, and you can do what you want with those descriptive truths. I've not actually ever heard, and I've been on Fresh and Fit, and I have tangled with Myron on this, and he has told me to my face, yes, it's degenerate behavior. Yes, promiscuity is bad. Yes, promiscuity should be rejected if...
Yeah, he knows it's bad, should be rejected, yet he does it anyway. Why? Because the incentives are there to do so. Because he's in that top 5% of dudes, he makes the money, he's got the fame, he has the notoriety, so he can bang a lot of hot chicks. He's only as loyal as his options are. He's got plenty of options. And he's incentivized to do these things by the very women who you are saying are not to blame, and it's the men that are the problem. They're exacerbating the issues. Yeah. But she's a conservative.
We had a moral society. Andrew, what are Christians going to do to reach out in order to make sure we have a moral society again? In this case, when I ask you, right, you are telling the degens to get married, which is insane, right?
That's not my prescription to have a more moral society, is to just get married. That's absolutely not it.
It was it. I caught you in a contradiction on it already. That you're advocating as bad a sin as they are. What is the distinction between them saying, go have sex unmarried with a bunch of people, and you saying, no, get married secularly, absent a sacrament? You're both advocating for the same exact thing, Lauren.
It's not the same exact thing. Even if we just look at the consequentialist, and again, I think you're right, actually.
You're not a consequentialist. You're a Christian.
But if we look at the outcomes, you can't say that the outcome is the same where you're sleeping with one person for the rest of your life versus you're sleeping with all of these other people.
I'm not a consequentialist. I'm a Christian. So I think we're going to end things there. 1604. I'm going to pick this up tomorrow, where we will discuss consequentialism, what it is, and the varying aspects of it. And until then, I wish you all a good and pleasant day. Take care.